Welcome to the Wrestling Philosophy Show, where we discuss unique perspectives and beliefs on the sport of wrestling. Give us a follow or subscribe on various social media platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the show.
Episode 55 with Corner Rug Smitty. Smitty and I go way back. He shares his story, how he got into wrestling and how it led him to the carpet business and eventually the corner rugs. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Thanks, Smitty.
Got it.
Smitty from the Valley. Are you Corner Rug Smitty? Smitty from the Valley? What are you?
I like Corner Rug. I like Corner Rug Smitty.
Yeah.
It's my mark.
So where are we joining you at?
And I just picked up this little piece of investment property here in Steubenville. This 8,000 square foot house with its own little golf course and stuff. That's my new dude. I love big projects like the community center. You know, everybody said I was nuts for doing that community center, but so guess what? It's all done.
What's your lowest score? Do you putt?
We're working on a course right now. We're scraping. There's the old putt putts right here. We're scraping right now.
Lucky you know a guy that knows carpet, right?
Right. And it's crazy. The stuff they had on there wasn't worth the glue they used.
Right. You're going to do it right. And then the next guy that tears it up can be mad, right?
Yeah, right. We're going to do it right. We're going to put some stuff that's going to last. Yeah. Like corner rugs.
Yes.
Nice. You know, that's why I don't get upset, you know, when somebody, so I see somebody using some generic corner rug, man. Everybody thinks a rug's a rug.
It's not.
A rug's not a rug, dude. There's a lot of components, you know. Is it easy to store? You know, I know there's this one attempt at a corner mat in the corner that it's like a solid piece, you know, it's like a big triangle, so you have to like carry it and store it. You know, our rugs are good because they're 100% nylon, man. And
right. Nylon bat, not the jute bag. Let's go back. So you're wrestling it. How did you get started in wrestling?
How did I get started wrestling, man? Just my dad just said I came home with the old sign up, man, from youth wrestling. And you know, it's so crazy how many kids that they used to get out for youth wrestling. There was three, you know, Edison Local High School, which was JU Stanton Springfield. You know, they had three elementaries that fed it, and it was Richmond, JU, and it was Pleasant Hill, Knoxville, and Richmond. And each one of those programs, man, would have like 70, 80 kids, you know, for one district, dude. They're like 200 kids out for peewee wrestling. And then we, you know what I mean? Like just people everywhere. It was a while, but you know, there was no, I know that we learned and I know I fell in love with the sport that, but there was just, it was just organized chaos, you know, and you know, looking back at all the guys. And then we started a club. Some guys started a club called our first driving club called JU Wrestling Club. You know, we got our old picture, man. And you know, there's 35 kids in that picture and, you know, 15 ended up being state placers and stuff. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kelly Shields, you know, ended up winning state one year. He beat Jake Davis in the state finals.
Jake Davis from Milan.
Yeah. He pinned Jake in 50 seconds, you know,
Jake was tough.
In 1991, he caught him in a cradle. And I just, you know, really, I did it for my dad always reminds Cooper and tells him how bad I was when I was his age, you know, and stuff. And he's like, don't let your dad fool you. He stunk, you know, and it just, you know, but it's so funny how, you know, sometimes even when you stink, you know, it's, I mean, how much you appreciate those guys.
Smell like rose, right?
Huh?
You come out smelling like a rose sometimes.
Right? It worked out, man. But I was going to say, like, I just always love those guys that just stink at wrestling, but they always come back to practice the next day because, you know, they just love that, you know, that just what they gain out of wrestling, man. It's not about just getting their hand raised all the time. It's just, there's so many other things. I tell parents all the time, I'm like, you know, your kid might not be a state champ, but what he's going to get out of wrestling is freaking priceless. You cannot get that anywhere else except for wrestling, you know, and going through that grind. And so, you know, I just tell people all the time, and just the work ethic you get right from wrestling and nothing else. Your kid might not be winning as many matches, but he's getting a work ethic, man. But yeah, I was no good until I hit like about my, Coach Heemster showed up. You know, the
so you're, Scott, you're Coach Heemster. That's all right.
Next, right.
You were coached by Scott. I was coached by Mark, and I'm sure they're very similar, right?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure they are. I know that I think they're both guys of few words, but when they speak, you know, you gotta listen, man. Like,
you better listen.
But you know, when he, that's really who changed my life, you know. So really, some Sandusky guy, man, really is the one that changed my life as far as wrestling goes. He made me accountable, and he came down and just shook me, because I was just messing around. I wasn't gonna end up being nothing, man. And just a knucklehead, man. And he just shook me down and made me accountable and put some rules in my life, man. And just, I don't know, just, I ended up wanting to win for him, you know? And so he came my sophomore, he was only there my sophomore and junior year. He came my sophomore year, and I got beat in semi-con season match to go to state in overtime. And then, you know, it's funny, you know, cause you know, we got that Sandusky St. Mary's tie.
Your,
you know,
claim to fame, right?
Yeah, you know what's
was crazy, that your senior year? I've never even met. Was that your senior year?
So my sophomore year, I got beat in overtime in the Concy semis, and so I got beat by this dude from Galleon Northmore. Okay. And if I would have won that match and went to state, I would have wrestled Joey Miani that year, because that's who that kid wrestled the first round.
First round.
And that,
really?
And that's the kid that Joey bit. You remember that? Geez. Do you remember that? And he got thrown out of state tournament because they said he bit the kid. So, or really, I would have wrestled him that year too. But then the next year, I ended up wrestling your guy, you know, from Sandusky St. Mary's, Joey Miani. He tech fall me over the summer in a garage somewhere in Sandusky, just had his way with me. And then we paired up the first round of the state tournament. He was ranked like 2 in the break, man. I was 22. And somehow, so I got 4th in my district. He won his. And somehow I beat him and held him down in overtime and beat him. But then I lost my next match in the classic story.
Follow your man back then, right?
It was follow your man. The classic thing.
I think my freshman year, I'm trying to think when they changed that. But yeah, so that's your claim to fame, right? You cost
the state title, right?
That's your company, tell me, right, when you see me.
The classic story about that is, man, in the sectionals, I was wrestling this dude named, I don't even want to say no names, man. He was tough. He's a good dude. And he was undefeated. And I'm like beating like 14-0 going in the third period. It was my choice. And Coach Heemster was like, neutral, but I want to go down and stall. And I'm like, no, neutral. I turned to the ref and I said, neutral. And Heemster got up out of the chair and he didn't coach me for the finals. Well, then next thing you know, it's a state tournament 2 weeks later. I'm winning 3-2 the next match after I beat Miani. I'm beating this kid. It wasn't even nowhere in a break. I'm beating 3-2 going to third. And it was my choice. And he's like, neutral. I'm like, no, coach, down. He's like, neutral. And I turned to the ref and I said, down. Dude cradles me up, beats me 5-3, knocks me on out of the tournament. And Scott and Mark didn't talk for like 3 years over that match. Because you know, I hate to say this, but I think it cost you guys a banner. I think you guys would have won the state championship or like second. Like, yeah. It was not good. It was not good. Like, you guys.
I'm sure it was definitely a trophy of some sort.
So I would never forget meeting Jude, and he was like, "So you're Smitty," and I was like, "Yeah."
But, where was that at? Do you remember that?
I don't even remember where that was at, man. But that was classic, man. So I've always had my Sandusky tie. Like, Coach Heemster actually brought me to SBC's, man. I watched an SBC final my like sophomore junior year, man. That was pretty cool.
You'd come up and train and, you know, stuff like that too, right? I mean,
yeah, not too much, man. I mean, just every once in a while he would take me to a garage and let me have their way with me in a garage, just beat my ass in a garage up there and whatever. But I remember that little freak, that 8-man SBC tournament. It's no joke.
Oh, that was legit, right? Now it's 20 team. It's 20 teams.
Oh, okay.
They joined the NOL. And okay, it's crazy now. I would tell you the teams, but it's, you know, it's deep, man. 20, can you imagine those teams and then add 12 more, you know? It's 20, so I forget what the number, but it's changed. No, Carver's getting out now and all this stuff. But anyways, back to the corner rug Smitty. So then right, you got out for a minute, started your carpet business, right? And we have another tie there, right?
Yeah, man.
My dad, owns a flooring store. You own your flooring store. You know, you live.
Your coach was Coach Heemster. My coach was Coach Heemster.
You lived right in the bit on top of the business or next to it. I grew up atop the business, right? We got a lot in common, right?
We're like the mob.
You can't get out, right? So you get back in through corner rugs in a way, right? And you always had your gym too, but it kind of and a bigger scale, right?
Yeah, hold on.
Something playing through?
So I went to Heidelberg, which was up by you, actually.
Did you, was Crabtree there when you were there?
Crab was there. We were me and Crab were both in the same fraternity.
That's another Sandusky tie.
we were Hides. We were what was called Hides up at Heidelberg. And man, I found myself. I got in some mischief my freshman year. Just I was a total knucklehead when I was a freshman in college and wasn't focused and wasn't tuned in. And I didn't have Coach Heems because Coach Heemster left my senior year, man. Somebody that goes a long way, man, having somebody that makes you accountable.
100%.
I didn't have anybody making me accountable. My dad was just a iron, you know, steel worker, man, from the valley and stuff. And just, like I said, didn't have anybody keep me accountable, got in some mischief and kind of ended my wrestling career up at Heidelberg. Probably the best thing that ever happened to me because I was just an education major and I had no idea that I was a entrepreneur. I always like was selling cars and doing stuff like that, but I couldn't see myself doing anything else, but me getting in trouble was definitely probably the best thing that ever happened to me and came back home. And, man, I ended up just meeting this carpet guy at lunch one day. I was selling some insurance, selling life insurance actually, which, that's a tough rack. And nobody wants to talk about dying, but while I was selling life insurance, I met this.
You'd be the guy to sell it though, I think.
You gotta scare him. Sometimes I do that with carpet. Like, ooh, you don't know what's in there. You better get that stuff out of there. But anyway, I ended up meeting a carpet guy. Went to lunch with him. I was like, what do you do? He's like, I sell carpet. I was like, you make money selling carpet? He's like, yeah. He's like, you know some people? I said, I know some people. So he brings me down some carpet. And that was in 1997. And I ended up moving to Ohio U because I thought I was gonna go back to school and maybe wrestle. So okay. I found Ohio U had 6,000 dorm rooms, not one had carpet. So I moved down there and I started selling carpet that first quarter.
I never heard that story.
Yeah, dude. Actually, the crazy part of that was that, so I moved down there with a dog at $1,000. I bought $900 worth of carpet. I had a dog in my van. I moved down there. There was five girls to every one guy. And so I had these flyers, man. That was back in the beeper days, dude. This is pre-cell phone with a beeper. And so I made those like pull tabs on the little flyers. You know, you could pull the thing with the number. Yep. And I was putting them all over the dorms in Ohio U. And this maintenance guy was like, hey, you have permission to do that? I said, no. He's like, you're going to have a stamp on there. They're going to pull them down. He's like, go over to housing authority. So I did that. I sat there for like an hour. I remember I almost left a couple of times, but I was like, where do I have to possibly be? So I waited and this guy finally popped out. I was like, all right, what do you got for me? And I told him, he's like, well, how much will you sell this 12x10 for? And I told him, he's like, all right, you're going to save my students money. He's like, leave your flyers. I'll stamp them for you and hang them. I'm like, all right, whatever. What choice did I have?
Right.
Sure as heck, man. Sure as heck. I went back a week or two later and they're all stamped and hung everywhere. Phone starts ringing. These girls would call me. And what was cool, the dad dude actually gave me, he actually, as I was leaving, hooked me up with the layout of the whole entire dorm rooms on every
size is probably right.
I had every size of every dorm room. So these girls were probably
what color were you selling them? Were you giving them color options?
Dude, it was generic, commercial, rough, bad carpet. Yeah, but it was new.
Hey,
you know,
better than the floor they had, right?
Absolutely, because they had just old tile down there and stuff.
Loud, right?
Probably but loud. That's how I kind of started, and I ended up coming back home to get more carpet. And as I started coming back home and be at a restaurant or something, people were like, hey, I heard you're selling carpet. I'm building a new house. I want you to do it. And I was like, you don't want my carpet. I'm selling junky carpet. And man, I kind of got forced into the business. I was only down there a quarter, came back home. And my old high school, Edison Local, actually needed an assistant coach because Luke was a real tough wrestler. He was, he got second, third, third. He didn't have a drill partner. Nobody could push him. And I was only 23 then. So I moved back home and I was assistant coach at Edison then, started that. And then I ended up being a head coach. That'd have been 99, 2000, 01, 02, and 03 as a head coach. And that's when I coached Jeb, you know, Jeb who works for me.
Yeah.
I was, you know, it was kind of crazy. Jeb was 19, I was 23, and I was his head coach, you know? So that's why it's kind of cool being tight with him now, man. We had some good times together, but, man, just started that business. And then the next thing you know, as far as corner rugs go, man, the NCAA Division II tournament came to Wheeling in, 1 year. Must've been about 02 or so.
Now the built, they don't have like the old.
No, they went to West Banco. It's still there.
Okay.
And
go ahead. Wheeling. There was one in Steubenville one time, right?
Yes. Okay. St. John's, but Wheeling would be West Virginia.
Okay. West Banco.
And West Banco. And so this guy named Ron Mock. So they got the Ron Mock VC tournament. He's an awesome volunteer, been there forever. And Ron was like, he called me and was like, hey, Smitty. We want to make some red and green carpet front underneath the chairs for the tournament. I'm like, all right. So I make them. They're big. And like maybe about 2 or 3 years go by and they end up using them for the OVAC tournament. And every time I would go down there, they, you know, I'd see how sweet they were and blah, 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 blah. So next thing I know, man, I just started marketing them and just one thing led to another. Then,
so
I tried.
Was that 2002? Was the first year you did them?
Yeah, 2002.
Wow. It's almost 10 years later, you're still doing carpet rugs. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's my claim to. I mean, that's my mark on wrestling, man. I mean, I would love to have.
Besides costing St. Mary's a banner, right?
Huh?
Besides costing St. Mary's a banner.
Yeah. Right. I guess. But I like being a corner rug guy. I mean, that thing's got me. I mean, heck, man, we did the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row.
Kale's camps, right? Didn't you do something with Kale or something?
Kale, USA Wrestling sent Kale down. Okay. It was actually the year before he went to – it was right there when he made that announcement that he was going to Penn State the year that Kale came down. We had that tie to Kale from
Bobby Douglas,
being from Bridgeport with down by Wheeling, was his coach. But then David Bertolino – from right. Bucket Local, who was a state champ, wrestled at Iowa State. He was a drill partner with KO, and, you know, he got third at the U.S. Open. He got fifth at the World Team Trials, and he had a nice little run, man, Dave, but just he had an old stress fracture to kind of shut him down or whatever. But, yeah, man, I got to, you know, so Corner Rugs got to meet KO, which just, that guy is just awesome. He's definitely greatness. Everything about that dude is just, if I was Kale Sanderson, I'd probably be the biggest jerk ever possibly. You know what I mean? And Kale was just so, I'll never forget his interview after the NCAA tournament when the lady said, so what's next for Kale Sanderson? Do you know this?
No.
After his fourth title, she said, so what's next for Kale Sanderson? He goes, I don't know. Probably take my brother fishing. And she goes, no. And the guy interviewing her, the girl goes, no, wrestling. He goes, oh, wrestling. I guess I'll just start training for the Olympics, you know, and like a month later he won the gold medal. But his first thing, dude, his first lap, you know, he killed rather be fishing than wrestling, you know. And you would think most guys, you know, nutty wrestlers are, they're just all wrestle. Kale, he ain't programmed like that, man. He's that good, and he still gets to go fishing and stuff, you know. But
I've never heard that.
Yeah, dude, he's that guy. I mean, I'm so happy, and I mean that I got to meet him, and just, you know, I remember.
And now you're a PA guy, right? Now, right?
Yeah, I'm
a PA. Are you Ohio or PA guy? What do you claim?
I'm an Ohio guy. Cooper's a PA guy. How about that?
Okay.
You know, I'm still an Ohio guy, man. But Coop, you know, we just living that close to the WPO tournament. I mean, we're 20 minutes away from, you know, the PA border and the WPO. That conference is just insane. I mean, it's, you know, and I know, I mean, dude, if there was guys in the NCAA, I mean, there's every year there's guys in the NCAAs in the semis wrestling each other who were WPO guys who wrestled all through high school in the WPO, you know, just like Mickey from Penn State, or no, sorry, from Pitt, you know, Mickey. Mm-hmm. That 133 pounder, can't think of Mickey's last name right now, but Mickey and kid from Latrobe, the Ohio State guy, what's his Pletcher. Name? Yeah, Pletcher, dude. Those guys, they were from the same county. They were ranked 1 and 2 in the country, you know. And just like I said, just I don't Pennsylvania. Listen, I love Ohio, man, and I love. And my guy, Peyton Hall, you know, from WVU, from West Virginia, tough as nails, finished third in the country, three-time Ironman, placer, junior, you know, he won junior nationals, freshman nationals. He's from West Virginia. That whole thing of every state has good, you know, and I know every state now has good wrestlers.
Right.
How many good wrestlers do you have? Yeah. How deep are you? And just that's what Pennsylvania has to do. I just feel like for every one good Ohio guy, and I know guys are going to not like me for this, man. It might even cost me a corner rug sale, but I just think it's a 10-to-1 ratio, man. I think for every one good Ohio guy, I think there's 10. They're like gremlins over there. I don't care where you're at in that state. I don't care if you're in the first round of the Colonies, the first one. You better be ready to wrestle. And just, there are just so many good wrestlers there, man. So I just like the competition of, you know, of Pennsylvania and the Whippio and whatnot.
It's crazy. No, it's deep. It's crazy deep, right? Coop got his OEC state title, and then you guys moved to PA, right? And
yeah, he won a couple Allegheny titles and area seven. They do things a lot different. They do everything
as far as, right? This year was way different, right?
Yeah, and how they do the top two, and they wrestle a true. I mean, you want to talk about a crazy match? When they do true second. Which would be like a district match, true second. Like, listen, my buddy goes, I go, nobody wants that, you know, true second match. He goes, yeah, only one it does is the kid to get third. You know what I mean?
Oh, they did that the Mac when I wrestled the Mac, too. Talk about brutal.
Oh, yeah. I was just talking to Devin, my guy Devin Brown,
he's doing freestyle, he's running your club at the Sportatorium.
Yeah. Yeah, he's back running our club and our freestyle sportatorium.
Nice.
You know, we were talking, because he won, Devo, he beat Santos, 1 year at the PA State tournament, man. And, Spencer's drill partner and whatever. But when he talked about Pennsylvania wrestling, he said the moms are just so educated on, because they've, they grew up in wrestling families. And,
that's how deep it is, right?
Yeah, and I think the coaching in Pennsylvania is through the roof. All those, like Sonny Abe coaches at North Allegheny. Sonny Abe was an NCAA champ and an Olympian, and he's a high school wrestling coach. You know what I mean? And just – they're just – all those guys end up coming back and just – yeah, and I just think that's why the tradition and just – it's such a deep – I don't know how it got started like that in that state of being – like that, but don't get me wrong, dude. There are some bad dudes that come out of Ohio.
Well, he said how all the guys went to college, they became educators, and then they came back. They wrestled, they came at education majors, and they came back and taught and coached wrestling. And then so they were college caliber, back in the day, and then they knew that's what they were going to do. And then, hence, PA Met Wrestling, right? College now.
I can't believe this. We go to a tournament. I just can't believe how many Division I All-Americans will be in like a Pee-wee wrestling tournament. You're like, look around. There's all these Division I All-Americans, and you're like, man, it's just so strange, man. But that stuff's contagious and runs off. And it's just awesome. Those guys all give back like they do.
Right. You still have the corner rug van?
I do have the corner rug van.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's been a wild ride. Things are going by really, really fast for sure, man. Coop's sitting in seventh, it'll be his eighth grade next year, man. And seems like yesterday, man, we were 5, 6 years old and, chasing him around and, those beginning of the flow days,
You started that right when flow was starting, right? I mean,
yeah, those were good days, man. Just,
So it was like a different world then. Like it was,
that was totally
wrestling world then, right?
I think that's when wrestling got commercialized. I feel like wrestling was so back on the back burner.
Well, I think it just caught up with the other sports for,
absolutely.
All the other sports were commercialized already. Right.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it brought us up to where, a double-edged sword, good and bad, but I think it kind of brought us to where the other sports are at in a way.
It definitely made wrestling shoes go up to like $170.
Yeah. You can still get good ones at decent, right? No?
I thought wrestling shoes were $40. What the heck happened? But that's I'm glad, I'm happy. Wrestling needed to be commercialized. I mean, it's nobody does it for the, I mean, too many people do wrestling for the money, man. It's you either love it or hate it.
You told me 12 years ago, wrestlers eat their young, right?
Huh?
You told me wrestlers eat their young, right? You're like,
oh, yeah. No.
They're building each other up.
No, this old coach from Kiski Prep up in Pittsburgh, at the Ironman tournament, I was talking about, you know, how great my corner rugs were and how wrestlers should support me. And he was like, you know, the problem with wrestlers, we eat our own. And that's what he said. I was like, oh, geez. But you know what? I feel changed that a little bit was when they were going to take Olympic wrestling out. I feel that, man, that was like, I feel like that was like one of the big first steps that wrestlers started really coming together. But like, all right, man, listen, we're all out of the same cloth, you know, and we got to start support. We can't be just dogging each other all the time. There's a happy medium on that. So that little situation, I feel like I did end up being a blessing in disguise and kind of unified wrestlers and stuff.
Right. And we talk all the time, but even like 2 years ago, maybe a year and a half before COVID hit, you're like, I'm Sportatorium is going to focus more on the beginner side of things too. It's just not going to be, you know, the top level guys. But you know, that's almost what, you know, COVID too, you know, through this is, you know, we have the elite guys, but you know, how's it going to shake out, you know, for these beginner guys? So that's awesome to hear you have Devin coming back, you know, in the area, you know, given some, is that your house back there? Is that your house back there?
Where do you want this thing? Huh?
Jeez, oh, Pete Smitty. Huh? And that's in Steubenville.
Oh, yeah.
You have a tractor. Do you know how to drive a tractor?
Kubota, baby.
Oh, there's the van right there. The van in the back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's still 2006. She's still running smooth, man. I feel very blessed to get Devin back, man. He, you know, what a awesome career. I mean, that kid, his senior year was most valuable wrestler of the Dapper Dan tournament. You know, who's on that list? Like, pull that list out and see who's on that. Wins 3 PA state titles. Just, you know, when Devin got to WVU, he weighed 117 pounds.
Right. He was undersized.
Really, he should have went Division II, but he always went wrestle Division I. And just he would have been a tough 18 pounder, man. Cause he ended up getting up to about 35 or so. And I think, but
huge by any means. Right.
Yeah. And he's only 5'4" and stuff. So he's just short and whatever, but what a good, awesome drill partner. You know, he weighs like about 130, Cooper's 125. So we got a really good drill partner. And they got little Brody Sack down here with us. JQ's. Yeah. We got some good little dudes, man. But, I feel like it's hard to find middle ground on wrestling. It's either all
full go,
full go, or you're like a 3 month wrestler, and it's like, you know, there's no, you cannot middle wrestling, man. It's all or none. But I do just the whole, I guess, talking about the work ethic. I just think, man, wrestling, man, is just an awesome sport. It just teaches some cool stuff, and I don't know. I just know you get a lot more out of dribbling, you know, not dribbling basketball and learning some wrestling moves. I think it's going to help you out. You never know, man. With as much road rager as in the world, you know, a good double leg goes a long way. You know, what are you going to do? We can do if you're just a basketball guy, you know? Heck, man. But I feel that I definitely always just want to get back to wrestling for the fact that I wouldn't be where I'm at or the person I am if it wasn't for wrestling. So I don't know. That's what always drove me for the first 25 years to get back to the sport was it just made me, I want to change somebody's life and let wrestling, because I just could not imagine my life without wrestling. I know I would not be the person that I am now and stuff. And then the kids need that these days, man. I mean, kids are just so, man, they're just so, I hate to use the word lazy, man, but you know, they're a little bit lazy. But they need extra push in wrestling. But, you can't.
But there's no, if you know, let's say they are lazy, right? But for those guys that work hard, it's that much easier to get ahead.
Right? I told
it's so much easier to get ahead right now if you put a little extra effort in.
Yeah, you can just be different, man. I talk about
that. If you put that little extra effort in, you're going to go further now, right? Because the bar has been lowered, I feel, right?
I just like your guy you had on, like Johnny DeJulius, man. I mean, right.
We just had him in Sandusky last Thursday.
Yeah, he was at my
camp. And we had him, Zeb and I had him on the podcast, but we had him come into camp. He did a great job, man. He relates.
Yeah, Johnny, I don't know. He could be, I don't know. He's not a national champion, not an All-American, but dude, he runs as good of a clinic camp as any All-American, any national champ. And it's just, he just awesome. He believes himself, but his work ethic. I mean, look at his work ethic. You know, Johnny's the essence of play hard, work hard, play hard. You know what I mean? Like, geez, man, Johnny's definitely playing hard, you know, but he's working hard. He's, you know, doing his thing, but I don't know. That's just, it's you, life is what you make it, man. You have to, you can't expect things to come to you, and you can't sit back and wait on things, man. You gotta take the bull by the horns, man. And Johnny D definitely takes the, so shout out to Johnny D. I hope more kids follow in his footsteps and, you know, just get after, just live. I love seeing a guy like that live.
He lives.
I just hope he's being safe. I hope he's checking his backpack all the time, you know, like, gosh, man. But yeah, like Cooper showed me, how cool, you know, he's like Cooper's idol now. He's like, Cooper showed me Johnny riding on camels.
He was just in Egypt. No, it was funny, after the camp, all the guys were like, hey, go FaceTime so-and-so. Like you hang out with, you know, throwing out names. You hang out with him, FaceTime for, like, all these, like, you know, middle school guys, Cooper's age, were trying to get him to FaceTime somebody, and they're like, and then he'd pull him up. And then, like, hey, follow me on Snapchat. You know, they're telling, you know, I forget if it was Bryce Meredith or whoever it was, but they're telling Bryce, hey, follow me. Like, these kids, man, it's funny watching, but he connects with the kids so well. It's
he really does, and he makes a really big effort to make sure he does that, because that's not easy. I feel myself, I lost that connection, man, for sure, being 47.
We're old.
Yeah, being 47, I'm a, you know, now, you know, Cooper, he loves, these guys love hearing my philosophy on things. They're like, what? They think I'm just from another planet.
But okay, so Coop's getting into eighth grade. What would you do different, right? Because you have Lily that cheers at a high level too. Anything that you tell your younger self, you know, when they're getting into sports, that you do differently?
Oh man, I don't know. Jeez, I don't know, man. I feel like I did things pretty good. I mean, I don't.
I'd say 2022. You know, some people are like, well, I wish I would have done this. Like, you know, my dad. You know, my dad will tell me, oh, I wish I'd done this. Like, Dad, You did a great job. You know, hindsight's always 20/20. You know what I mean? But I didn't know, you know, like you said, some of these guys are all in or just a beginner, you know, some of these guys that are all in, it's like, man, I wish I would have started off this way instead.
Well, I mean, I, you know, the same thing everybody says, man, of definitely just, it, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. And it's always fun to win, man. Winning's the best. It's like so cool to win.
Cures, you know, everything. I mean? It cures everything.
You know what I mean? You know, but just like I said, man, there's so much more to wrestling than winning. And, you know, I always think about, man, just those dads and sons out there that don't have a good relationship now because of that high intensity thing they went through with wrestling. You know, and I know it. How many dads and kids out there, just their relationships are just shot. And you're like, for what? And for wrestling, it's cool, but it ain't worth that. You know, Jason Hours, you know, Logan Hours, his dad, he just always talked to me about just the, you know, when I always try to soak these moments up, like he, you know, brought to my attention, just that travel time, man, just driving to practice, driving to tournaments. You know, Crabtree, Travis, Tommy, you know, after Cooper would do something awesome, like, you stop at Speedway and get him anything he wants. You know what I mean? Like, just, and that's key. Like, hey, buddy, get whatever you want. Really? Anything you want. It's been $20 in speed. You know, just those moments, man. I'm just, cause they go so fast, man. Like, you know, it's a little scary how fast the last decade went, and just, you know, so did you live in the moment, you know? Mm-hmm. Living in the moments, I find myself definitely telling Cooper and Lily, just I try to make them in a moment where they should live in the moment, like, hey man, this is your last such and such, you know, really soak this in and live in the moment. And you know, my guy Bert Lee, I was talking about earlier, he got inducted to the OVAC Hall of Fame, and he told an awesome story about living in the moment. It was like one of my first experiences ever really hearing somebody really focus on living in the moment that I knew, I guess, or whatever. And so Burt Russell in the Pan Am Games, and he was waiting for his like bronze medal match or something. And the guy was late coming to the mat. And he just said, he remembers it was like one of the biggest times he lived in a moment. He looked down and seen his USA singlet while the guy was waiting. And he just said that match stuck with him forever. Cause he just stopped. He looked down, he seen his singlet in USA, and just, he lived in a moment. And just, I just, dude, if you can, that's so, sounds so easy, but you know, and I know it, man, it's so hard to do that. Like
living, you got to train your mind to do that. It just doesn't happen overnight. Right.
No, man. So I try to, I definitely right now try to make myself focus on living in the moment and not, you know, jumping out of the fast paced rat race we got going on, and, you know, try to just soak it in. Because, man, it's life is, you, when we're 18, 19 and all that, man, you're like, life's on like going slow, but you start working every day and grinding it, man. It's like, start doing that monotonous life every day and whatever. So I just, man, I don't know. I things have changed for sure with Corona. I think the season coming up is going to be back to normal. So that'd be good. Cause I think everybody needs some good normal back in their life.
Right.
It felt good getting back in some wrestling tournaments, man, and getting back to, I definitely missed. That was so weird not seeing some of your buddies, right? The people for like a year, like,
yeah,
like
crazy,
you know, guys you would never, ever, ever think you would not see for a year. Next year, you'll see them for a year. And just, right. So I really made everybody, I think, step back and appreciate things and appreciate a good old wrestling tournament. And I don't know, just life in general, man. So. And you know, now that we top spray our rugs with some MRSA staff killer that you know also kills coronavirus. So good thing we're top spraying our rugs. You know, we top spray our rugs with guys, you know, stuff. So
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, that's it. I use the defense, you know, defense stuff, man, to
top spray it.
Right. Yeah, and anything comes and call you a ringworm staff, MRSA. All that stuff. So that's not a big thing that our rugs are that nobody else did. But I just do corner rugs just to have a good time. Like I said, I just like being the corner rug guy. And that's my mark, man. I always love how guys were like, man, you make a living selling corner rugs. I'm like, no, I'd be living under the bridge if I had to make a living off corner rugs.
I had that conversation with a few different people. Like, yeah, he sells that many corner rugs. I'm like, no, he sells flooring.
Right,
laminate. Actually, but laminate's your big one, right?
Or is it LVT?
That's what I have. Yeah.
You know what? There's some wrestlers out there. Let me walk everybody through this.
Yeah.
So, here's why you shouldn't buy any LVT from any box stores. So that stuff's like buying a garbage bag, because that's the hottest thing in flooring right now.
Milliliter layer, right?
The millware layer. Yeah. So. Lowe's and Home Depot, I'm a backup. Box stores, they sell Smart Core and Life Proof, and they're both 6 mil wear layers. I don't sell a 6 mil. Most retailers don't sell a 6 mil.
I don't know flooring, but obviously that's our connection to my dad. I have LVT, and I think it's a 20. Does that sound right?
20? Yeah, 20 is the highest. It's commercial. That's what everybody should.
Yeah.
Like, you kids,
and I have upstairs right now. 20.
Yeah, that's what you should have.
Go on.
And you. And,
I don't know flooring, like, but go on. Yeah, back up. So they're selling you 6.
They're selling you 6 mil wear layer. So versus like I sell a 12 for the same price the box store sells a 6 for. So that's just what people, man, it makes me so upset that the world's turned that stupid that you think like literally, dude, if guys like me and your dad were getting beat apples to apples by a box store, we wouldn't be in business. We'd be working at Lowe's. You know what I'm saying? Like, we would be working there. But
great point.
They have so many advertising dollars that they can make people, you know, when you watch a commercial, it's all you hear them talking about waterproof. Dude, there's junky waterproof stuff, man. So all you wrestlers out there, man, you should always take care of mom and pop stores, but you're just stupid. If you buy from a box store, buy a floor from there. And their service for installation is terrible. You don't know who's
in that's a whole nother conversation.
That's my, dude, when people start comparing me to Lowe's, I get so upset. Like, I lost my filter, man. That's one thing you lose as you get older, right?
Yeah.
You lose shoulder, man.
My,
you're like,
my dad, I remember him telling this story. And my dad's not the salesman by any means, but he'll just lay it out for you if he come in, talks to you. He's like, I forget, right? You sell carpet by the yard, right? Is that what it is?
Yeah. And then, or square foot.
Square, what's that?
Square foot, maybe.
Well, something back in the day, it was yard and
square
like
yard. Store. Back in the day, definitely square yard.
Yeah. And then the box store started saying, putting
they started lineal. They started saying lineal foot.
Yes. And my dad was
their own math. It's their own math, dude.
And he's like, so these people think, well, it's X here. And my dad's like, no, it's not apples to apples. Not even close, you know?
Yeah. But who makes up their own math system for selling something? Somebody trying to pull some wool over your eyes. Oh, there it is, Jay.
It looking good. Look at the license plate, right? Wrestling.
We got their little. the bus has treated me good, man. I think
that's awesome.
Me
you, have any, you have anything for me? Any questions for me, Smitty? Anything you have?
No, I just I appreciate you taking time to listen to my story, and I just hope my biggest thing. Any younger dudes, you know, listen to just, man, I can't say enough about that freshman year of college, that you got to be tuned in and you got to be accountable and you got to make your decisions and your life will get away with you in a second. And that's such a big time in your life, man, of just, so, I mean,
I mean, but it led you, you know, you got on the right path from that, right? You didn't let one decision lead to the next bad decision to the next and play the, oh, feel sorry for me.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
You said, all right, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make it right. Right. So many kids think one bad decision is going to lead to, you know, it's okay to make another bad decision. Right.
Absolutely. Definitely things snowball, man. Definitely can let your things snowball in depression. Right. You get depressed and just go into a hole. And man, you just got to bounce back. And I think that's what, you know, that's when, you know, I guess the last thing I would like to talk about is just, I think in that situation, I went back to wrestling and I just had this conversation with somebody. I can't remember who that was, but I was like, you know, you always can go back to wrestling. That's one thing awesome about wrestling. It's always going to be there for you, man. And you, when there's nothing else, you know, when you got nothing else going on as a wrestler, just go back to your wrestling room and just everything else will start falling to pieces. You'll run across your old this or that, next thing you know, they're like, hey, I'm looking for somebody to hire, and just, you know, just go back, just wrestling, man. So that's one thing that's awesome about wrestling. You can always, it ain't going nowhere, thank goodness, because listen, we would all be lost. Right. They took wrestling from us wrestlers, it'd be a chaotic world.
The oldest sport in the world. It's been around forever, right? It ain't going anywhere, right?
I definitely want to give a huge shout out, man, to I was going to say, first of all, my guy Peyton Hall, but I'm gonna say Tyreek Wilson.
Yeah.
My man, Steubenville, really, really went to, I just took, you know, he just took it to another level. And with that build, you know, and, yeah, you know,
very Joe unique build,
Coach took a huge gamble on him, and he beat some bad dudes in his career. And I don't think he's done. Things can come back for another year. But shout out to Tyreek Wilson and my guy Peyton Hall, who got fourth at the Big 12 this year as a freshman. Got beaten the blood round at the NCAA tournament. You know, Peyton's from a little town called Chester in West Virginia, and got knocked. Everybody knocked him in a West Virginia.
I remember this fall you were texting me about him. Like, check my dude out. Check, or I mean, maybe it was 2 years ago. I forget what it was, but I remember the name you tell me before it, you know, was known.
Yeah, man. He's fortunate, man. He has a style that works really good for him because he has a really, I mean, he. You, his stance looks like he should get taken down in a millisecond, but he just wrestles so loose and, you know, but just kudos to him. And I'm proud of him, man. And just, that's it. You know, like Coach Douglas, when you always come down, that's you get out of wrestling, the education. And that's what, that's the name of the game, man. Just getting, and these days with expensive as college is, dude, how far does the scholarship go these days?
Right.
You know, any money. So shout out Jay to the OAC, and I love you, man. And I appreciate your time. And, I got the best corner rug on the market. No latex, nylon, quick turnaround.
Felt back.
There's an attached pad in the middle. Just, you want a premium corner rug.
Customize them, right? Customize them if needed.
That's an easy email. Smitty43952@gmail.com. Smitty43952@gmail.com, man. So, Jay, thank you. It was awesome to see you this evening, man.
All right, Smitty. I'll talk to you.
Keep working hard in that gym.
All right, bud.
Later. See you.